Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Makas Daf Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous discussion, the end of the previous shiur, we were introduced to the fourth din of Rav Yehuda, whose name appeared in a triangle with a colored in tip, as was part of a series that began on Daf Gimel Amid Aleph. The fourth halacha of Rav Yehuda Omar Rav said that 3 lug of water, lug is an amount, 3 lug of water that fell into the 3 lug, got mixed up with a very small amount of wine, a kurtiv of yayin. Kurtiv is a quantity of wine, but a very small quantity. And it effectively changed the color of the 3 lug of water, giving them a wine look to it. This liquid then fell into a mikveh that was lacking the proper shiur, the proper quantity, namely it was lacking 40 sa'ah, which is the quantity of water required for a kosher mikveh. Rav Yehuda Marav said that does not render the mikveh unfit. Unlike a situation where 3 lug of drawn water, mayim she'uvim, drawn water that would fall into a mikveh that's chasera, that's lacking 40 saw, that would render the mikveh unfit. But what fell into this mikveh, in the case that Rav Yehuda Marav is dealing with, it's 3 lug of water with a bit of wine mixed in, giving it a winey color. And those 3 lug and kurtiv of wine then fell into a mikveh. According to Rav Yehuda Marav, that does not passel the mikveh. We saw, on the other hand, Rabbi Chiya say that does passel the mikveh. We saw this in a very short brisa that appeared at the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis, where Rabbi Chiya had a source that said Horidu es hamikveh. In order to resolve the kasha presented by Rabbi Chiya on Rav, Rava entered the picture and said there is no contradiction, there's no stira or kasha. Very simply, Rav represents Shitas Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who is found in a Tanaic source in a Mishnah that started at the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis. And according to Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, in order to determine kashrus of mikvos, you look at the color of that which falls in. In this case, it had a wine tint to it. It had a wine look. And as a result of that, wine does not render a mikveh unfit. Only drawn water renders it unfit, but something that looks like wine does not. And Rabbi Chiya represented the opinion of the Rabbanon, and their opinion also was featured in a Tanaic source. The beginning of today's shiur will focus on that Tanaic source, which will serve as the basis of these two shitas of Rav and Rabbi Chiya. Before we actually go into the Gemara itself, we want to draw your attention to a geometric form, one of our series markings that's going to be significant as far as the beginning of today's shiur. We notice a crown around Rava, crown form, Rava on the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis. In our Mivneh heading, which is found at the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis, we've indicated that this crown form, Hityachasut Amoroyim Shoinim L'Divrei Rav, we're going to see different Amoraic opinions to Shitas Rav. namely Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, that appeared four lines from the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis, who said what he said regarding the three lug plus quart of yayin. We will see, as we just mentioned, three approaches to Shitas Rav, whom we circled. Rava represents the first approach, simply saying that Rabbi Chiya's source is not a kasha on Rav, because Rabbi Chiya represents the opinion of the Rabbanon that would view the three lug of water as problematic, even though a little bit of wine fell into it. And Rav represents the shita of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who says that all the problems are solved if it doesn't have a water look to it, but rather a wine look to it. So, picking up the Gemara from the very bottom line of Gimel Amud Beis, Omar Rava lo kashya, ha Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, shitas Rav that was machshir, he conforms to the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who says that everything is determined by its looks. And ha Rabbi Chiya, that said that the three lug of water with the wine that fell into it and got mixed up with it, that it does passel the mikveh, that is the shita of the Rabbonim, the Snan, as is illustrated in the following Tanaic source that features these two opinions, the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who's found at the end of the source, and the shita of the Rabbonim that appears at the beginning. Before we actually read the source, we're going to emphasize a point that Rashi emphasizes, that upon reading the source, we're going to see a case that's a little bit different than the one we're talking about. The case in the source features three lug of water that themselves are not a complete three lug. The three lug are three lug minus a kurtov. So it's three incomplete lug, and into that falls a little bit of wine. We're going to see the Rabbonon say that that's okay. Why is that okay? Because you don't have a complete three lug of water, which is the amount that renders mikvos unfit. You don't have three complete lug of water falling in. That's why it's not puzzle. From that, we're going to infer that if it were three complete lug of water, even though some wine got mixed in and gave it a winey look, that doesn't matter. It still has a din of water and will passel the mikveh. That will be the shitas rabbanon. In other words, the shitas rabbanon will not be something that you'll see straight out, but it will be a function of making a diuk, of an inference from what it says in the source. So, here we go. We read the source, starting at the very bottom of Gimel Amud Beis. Shloshes lugin mayim choser kurtav, shenofal l'soichon kurtav yayin. Three lug minus a kurtav, that fell into it, a kurtav of wine, umarein kemare yayin, and this mixture looks like wine, v'noflu l'mikveh, and they fell into a mikveh chasera, into a mikveh that was not complete, that was lacking a full 40 saw, lo posluhu, they do not render the mikveh incomplete. At this point, though, you'll notice with our Shas Ozer, our Mark Demars, we've written in, Avalim lo hoya choser kortiv, if that water, that the drawn water that fell into the mikveh was not lacking a kortiv, but rather was a complete three lug of water, hoyu poslin, they would have passled, even though they had a mara yayin. V'chein Shloisha Lugin Mayim Choser Kurtov. This is the Seifa of the source, which will be important to refer to later as the Seifa. Another case, you have three lug of water lacking a Kurtov. Shenofa L'Soichan Kurtov Cholov. A little bit of milk fell into this water. Milk doesn't change the color of the water. Umarein Kemare Mayim. Notice with our markings, we've dot underlined two expressions, Mara Yayin a few lines up, and Mara Mayim over here, V'noflu L'mikveh, and this mixture that has this watery look to it fell into a mikveh, Lo Pasluhu. Once again, we are emphasizing with our squiggle underline, you can see Lo Pasluhu, And why is it? Because this is the Shita Sachomim, consistent with what they said before. It doesn't have a complete three lug of drawn water in it. Therefore, it doesn't passel the mikveh. Had there been three lug of water, it certainly would have passeled. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, Hakol Holech Achar Hamare. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, the halacha is determined by what it looks like. In this last case, it had a water look to it. So even though it wasn't a three complete lug that of drawn water that fell into the mikveh, but there is a three complete lug of water look to it. The milk that fell in completed it to a shiur, a quantity of three lug of watery look. And according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, the looks is what determines. Water passels, wine does not passel. Water, a watery look would passel, a winey look would not passel. And it's based on Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri that says that if something has a winey look to it, it won't passel. Therefore, Rav, who said on the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis, three lug of water, a three complete lug of water, with a little wine that fell into it, but since it doesn't have a watery look, it doesn't have a din of water, even though it's three. If there were three complete lug of water. At this point, the Gemara raises a new question. We mentioned that Rav and his halacha conforms to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri alone, but doesn't conform to the Rabbanan, which would basically say that Rav is the subject of a machlokes tanoim, and he's not kedivrei hakol. Rav Papa lacked certainty on that position. Namely, it wasn't clear to Rav Papa that Rav was necessarily only according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Rav Papa had an idea that maybe Rav comes out like Divrei Hakol, like everybody. In our markings, you'll notice that we've featured Rav Papa with a crown. He represents a second approach to Rav. Up till now, the first approach of Rav had presented by Rava limited Rav to Shitas Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Rav Papa's approach is going to open up the possibility that Rav actually works out like all opinions. Let us glance at the another marking that we have, and that's the long question marking. You can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you notice a kuf that's encircled with a vertical dashed line. That indicates that all of the lines of Gemara that are opposite this vertical dashed line are part of the question. They form the question. In the course of the long question, we have more geometric forms that we'll want to take note of. You'll notice Rav appears in a diamond with a colored in tip. We're emphasizing Shitas Rav as presenting the two possibilities that we just mentioned. Is he just like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? That's according to the first approach. And then you'll notice a squiggled underlined expression, O Dilma, that is on the line after the first diamond in Rav. O Dilma means, or maybe, Beis. The second possibility is that Rav is Kedivrei Hakol. Let us turn to the side of the Daf Gemara, where we have a tat nosei, a subtopic written in, that explains what we just said before. She'elas Rav Papa, the question of Rav Papa, ha'im ma'amidim es Rav, that appeared sof Gimel Amid Beis, at the bottom of the previous Amid, she'hichshir, ma'amidim means, do we set up Rav? She'hichshir kurtav yayin, Shehichshir shloisha lugim shleimim shemayim shenafal l'soichan kurtav yayin umareim kemara yayin v'nafal l'mikva kedivrei hakol. Do we set up Rav, who said that if you have three complete lug of water, drawn water, that fell into them a kurtav of yayin, and it has a winey look to it, Rav who was machshir, is he kedivrei hakol? Oy ra kereb Yochanan ben Nuri, or is he just like that opinion, the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? Tshuva shel sheila zu, the re-answer to this particular question, tolui, is dependent. Im Rav goreis bereisho shel hamokor li'el, if Rav has as his version of the source that we read, that appeared at the top of Dalet Amud Aleph of our Gemara, the source had said, possibly, Gimel Lugin Mayim Choser Kortov. That's actually how it's printed in our Gemara. Is the version that's printed in our Gemara the version that Rav had, that the three lug were missing a kortav, v'rak oz lo posloi, and only because the original three lug were lacking in its quantity, namely it wasn't a three complete lug of water, and only because of that Rav did not posel. Oi lo gores, or maybe he doesn't have that version. The have a gimel lugin shleimim, and if that's the case, if he doesn't have the choser kurtiv expression, what was the source talking about? It was talking about three complete lug of water, into which fell a kurtiv of yayin, and the Tanakhama said lo poslu, the afilu hachi lo poslu, and even so, even though there were three complete lug of water, the Tanakhama didn't pasul. Well, that's Rav's case also. V'yaz Rav k'divrei akol, and then Rav will work out like everybody. He'll work out like the Tanakhama, who said in that case that he doesn't have the version of Choser Kortov, that the three complete lug that have the whiny look, lo paslu, and also like Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, who says that since it has a non-water look, it doesn't pasul. Then Rav, whose original din was that case, works out like everybody. So, therefore, our question, or the question of Rav Papa is, how is it that Rava was so sure that Rav works out only like Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri? Let's now read this in the Gemara. V'ha mibaya bo'i lo Rav Papa. This issue of Shitas Rav, like whom does he go, was a question to Rav Papa, not a matter of certainty like Rava presented it. The boy, Rav Papa. Notice we have a little Aleph here. Aleph means this is the first of two sides of the question. Aleph, O Dilma. The O Dilma is an expression found a few lines later, squiggle underline, presenting the second side of the question. So the first side is, the Rav Papa asked, Rav Toni Choser Kurtav? Does Rav have as his version? Notice we've slashed underlined the word toni. Contrast that with the next time you see a slashed underline, you see loy toni a few lines later. That's the second possibility. So the first possibility is, does Rav have as his version choser kurtov bereisha? Once again, let's read this. Rav toni choser kurtov bereisha. Does Rav have that as his version? We also are emphasizing that Rav's own shita is that it's that a mikveh is kosher in a case when three complete lug fall in as well. So is Rav's version of this Tanaic source that was machshir, the wine-water mixture, only in a case where it's choser kurtiv, where the original three lug of water were not a complete three lug, aval shloisha lugin, but three complete lug of water, the case of Rav, l'tanakama pasli, according to the Tanakhama, it would not be kosher, namely, unlike Rav. The also Rabbi Yochanan, namely Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, comes along, l'meimar to say, hakol olech achar hamare, that if they have a whiny look, it'll be kosher, because Rabbi Yochanan Nuri says that everything goes according to the looks. And according to Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, even three lug of complete water, complete three lug of water, if it has a whiny look, it doesn't render it possible, just like Rav. And in that case, v'Rav di Omar Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, then Rav would work out like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri alone. Oy Dilma, another possibility is Rav lo tani choser kurtiv bereisha. Rav doesn't have that expression, even though it's printed in our Gemara at the very top of the page. You'll notice we've dashed, underlined that expression at the very top. That's to draw your focus up to this very point. Maybe Rav doesn't have those words. In that case, what was the Tanaic source talking about? What was the Reisha talking about? It was talking about, in the Reisha, a case of three complete lug of Mayim, that fell into it a quartiv of wine. And the Tana Kama said, lo paslu. Notice that was our squiggle underline, the second line from the top. And that's the case of Rav, namely three complete lug of mayim. And if that's the case featured because Rav's version of the Tana Kama doesn't have the expression choser kortiv in it, for Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who appears in the source, at the end of the source, in the Seifa case, Ki Polig, when he is coming to argue, as Seifa hu de Polig, he's arguing only in the case of the Seifa that presented, in fact, three lug choser kortiv of water that fell into it some milk. But that's not the case that Rav was dealing with. And in that, according to this scenario, the Rav that was machshir three complete lug of water that fell into them some wine, Rav the Omar kedivrei hakol, Rav would work out like everybody, like the Tana Kama as well. So this is the end of our long question. To summarize, Rav Papa is asking, how is it so clear to Rava that Rav works out only like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, namely like the Aleph possibility presented in this long question, when according to Rav Papa, it's not so sure? So the Gemara answers, L'Rav Papa mebayale. To Rav Papa, it was a matter of doubt. It was questionable. L'Rava pshitale, but according to Rava, it was very clear. In other words, according to Rava, the Girsa, the version that Rav had in that Tanaic source was as it is printed in our case, in our version. Namely, the only reason the Tana Kama was Machshir was because it wasn't an original three complete lug of water. But had it been a three complete lug of water, even though some wine fell into it, the Tana Kama would not have allowed it. Rav does allow it. Rav does not passel, and hence Rav works out, according to Rava, only like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who says everything is determined by looks. As we go on in the Gemara, we have another crown form. This will be Rav Yosef. And you'll notice he's a third approach to how to understand Rav. Up till now, we've seen Rava limiting Rav to the Tana Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. We saw Rav Papa not sure of Rav's position. Now we're going to see Rav Yosef, who presents Rav kedivrei hakol, in fact, like the second possibility that was presented in the Rav Papa long question. Omar Rav Yosef, lo shmia li ha shmaitza. Rav Yosef, who was a student of Rav Yehuda, said, I didn't hear this teaching of Rav. Rav Yehuda was the one who originally presented Rav. He was in our triangle with the colored in tip at the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis. He presented Rav. Rav Yosef says, I never heard my Rebbe, Rav Yehuda, present Rav. Rashi points out that Rav Yosef himself had taken ill at a certain point, and the illness caused him to forget his learning. So you'll have expressions in the Shas where Rav Yosef says, I never heard something, where a Talmud of Rav Yosef, and Rav Abaye is often the one that comes along and says, hey, but you taught us this. And as we mentioned, that's a function of Rav Yosef having taken ill, and his student Abaye recounted for him, for Rav Yosef, many points of learning. So after Rav Yosef says, I never heard Rav Yehuda quote Rav on this topic of the three lug, Omar le Abaye, at Amris lo nihalon. You taught us, in the name of Rav Yehuda, the position taken by Rav. V'hochi Amris nihalon. And thusly, you taught us. De Rav, and we have quotation marks for the next approximately 2.5 lines of Gemara, which is Abaye's presentation of Rav Yosef's version of Rav Yehuda Omar Rav. So how did you teach us? De Rav loy toni choser kurtiv bereisha. Rav's version of the Tanaic source did not have the expression of choser kurtiv in the reisha case, unlike Rava's approach earlier. Here you would have, in effect, a machlokas Abaye and Rava. And we noticed that you had, if according to this approach taken by Abaye and Rav Yosef, there were the three lug of water were a complete three lug of water. That was Rav's case. And the Tana Kama was machshir. Rav Tana Kama said it's okay. It didn't have a watery look to it. It had a winey look. Rabbi Yochanan, namely Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, a seifa polig. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri is coming to argue only in the case of the seifa, which involved 3 lug minus a kurtov that fell into it, a kurtov of milk, giving it a 3 lug look of water. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri was arguing only in that case. The Rav, who spoke about the wine falling into the 3 complete lug of water, the Omar Kedivrei HaKol. Rav works out like everybody, like the Tanakhama as well. At this point in the Gemara, before we read the Gemara, we want to just make a little, a slight reference to another feature we have of our Shas Ozer. In the inside margin, you'll notice there's a sikum, a summary of this sukya. And what we have written on the side, on the inside margin, the sikum, summary, ha de Tanakama machshir bereisha, the case of the Tanakama, who allowed, who was machshir the mikveh in the opening case, haim, aleph, rak begimel lugim shlemim, is it only in the case of 3 lug that, let's read that again. Haim, is it rak begimel lugin chaserim kurtov, gimel lugin mayim, that are chaserim kurtov, shenoflu letochan yayin? Is it only in that case, since you didn't have a complete 3 lug of water? Oy, afilu begimel lugin shlemim, shel mayim, shenofal letochan yayin. Or maybe in that case as well, even if it's 3 complete lug, the Tanakama would have been mafshir. Rava ke aleph. Rava is like the first possibility, that only because the 3 lug were choser. Rav Papa mitlabet. He was in doubt. And Rav Yosef ke beis. And Rav Yosef goes like the second approach, that even in a case of 3 complete lug of drawn water, the mikveh will be kosher because it's wine that fell into them, giving it a winey look. We turn back to the Gemara, and we have another halacha of Rav Yehuda, featured again in a triangle with a colored intip. Yomar Rav Yehuda Marav, Chovis Maleo Mayim, Shenofla Liyam HaGodol, a barrel full of water, of drawn water, that fell into the sea. The sea, in general, is a place that a person could toivel, can immerse himself and achieve purity, achieve tahara. We have a case where a barrel of water, the water, that is, fell into the barrel, the water from the barrel fell into the sea. Hatoivel sham lo also lo tvila. A person who jumps into that spot in the sea right after the water spilled into the sea, one who immerses himself in that very spot, loy also loy tvila, his immersion will not be successful. It won't count for him. It won't cause him to achieve purity. Chayshinon, let us just mention another detail. We're talking about a person who was tome, a person who was impure, who was trying to achieve tara, he jumped into that very spot that the water fell in to the sea. The water from the barrel fell into that point. Lo also lo tvila chayshinon, we are suspect. L'shloisha lugin shiloyu b'mokom echad. We're suspect that in that spot there remains 3 lug of drawn water that is still there, and the person would be immersing in that location, not enjoying 40 sa'ah of sea water. V'davka liyam ha-godol dekoi v'kaima. This restriction of Rav Yehuda applies only in the case of the sea, where the flow of water is not so immediate or profound. Avol na Rabbi Amo, if it's a stream of flowing water, like a river, loy, then this restriction wouldn't apply, because whatever fell into a particular spot, at the very second that it falls in, it already flows downstream, so that when a person immerses himself right after that, he's not immersing himself in that original drawn water. As far as the concept of being toivel in a river in general, that itself is worthy of a separate discussion. One should not draw from our shir any reference to practical legal application. Tanya Nami Hochi, we now have a Tanaic source that supports the idea that we're choshesh for liquids remaining stagnant when dealing with the Yam HaGadol. The source begins, Chobis Mleo Yayin Shinoflo LeYam HaGadol, a barrel full of wine that fell into the sea. HaToivel Shom Lo Also Loy Tvila. Someone who jumps into that spot where the barrel of wine fell in, his tevila will not be effective. His immersion won't be effective. Chayshinun l'shloisha lugin sheuvin shloyu b'makom echad. We're choshesh for the remaining of unfit liquid. Wine is not a source of liquid that's fit for immersion. So we're choshesh. We're suspect that maybe their three lug of wine remained over there, and he's not enjoying a complete 40 sa'ah of sea water surrounding him as he immerses in that spot. So we see that the point of hashash for stagnancy in this source. V'chein kikor shel truma shenof al sham tome. Likewise, a loaf of truma that fell into that spot, if truma, which is something has to be tohar, if it fell into that spot, it will be tomei. Now, that spot is a reference to the spot that the person who was tomei immersed himself. After the fellow immersed himself in that spot that the wine had fallen in, after the man was in that spot, a kikar of truma fell into that very spot. So we say that the kikar of truma is tomei. This may seem to be fairly obvious. If you tell us that a man who was tomei jumped into that spot where the wine had fallen in, and we're saying that the sea is relatively stagnant, so when the person jumped into that spot, he was mitama the wine. The wine becomes tomei. And if a kikar of truma then falls into that spot, so naturally it would become tomei from the wine. Therefore, the Gemara asks, "My v'chein, what's the chiddush of this particular point?" Once you say that we're choshish for stagnancy, it's obvious that the kikar of truma, the loaf of truma, will become tomei. So the Gemara explains what the chiddush is. What's the novel point? Mal detema, without this source, I would have thought. Hosam, in the Reisha case, what did the Reisha case feature? It featured a man who was tomei. Regarding the sea, we had a doubt whether the wine is still there or not. So when you have a situation of doubt, we would say as follows, Uki gavra achazkei. Establish the man according to his original status. His original status was one of tumah. He was tomei. Therefore, I don't know if the wine remained there or not, so I say, in a matter of doubt, rely on the chazok, and the chazok in this case points to the direction of tumah. Hocha, in the case of the kikar, I also am in a state of doubt regarding stagnancy. The kikar was tahar. So, as we said a moment ago, when you have a matter of doubt, you rely on the chazoka. Hacha uki truma achazka. Establish the truma on its chazaka being its status having been tahar before it fell in. And if that be the case, the result would be not like was taught in the source. If I would rely on the chazaka alone, I would be mitayer the kikar. Kamash malon, that's the chiddush of the source, that even though the chazaka points into the direction of Tahara, nevertheless, because of our chashash concerning the stagnancy of the water, we are going to render it tomei. As we go on in the Mishnah, we have a geometric form, and we'll glance at the side of our Gemara. You'll notice the Nosei Mivneh heading. We have a Machlokes Tanoim, Kaful, a double Machlokes, a double Tanaic controversy, that Eidim Zomimim Sheheidu, regarding false witnesses that testified, number one, L'chayev Mamon, they said testimony that turned out to be false concerning monetary matters. Ha'im Loikin U'mishalmin, do we say that they get lashed in addition to their obligation to pay? to pay the defendant whom they were trying to cause loss to. Number two, L'chayev Malkus Arboim. Let's say they said testimony, the false witnesses said testimony concerning someone as having committed an offense that is worthy of Malkus. For example, they testified that so-and-so ate pork, and it turned out that they were lying. For the offense of consuming pork, there is Malkus Arboim. There is 40 lashes. It's a violation of a Torah, of a negative precept taught in the Torah. Now, in addition to their having tried to mechayev the defendant Malkus, they also lied. So the question is, ha'im loikin shmonim, will they get two sets of Malkus? One set for the based on the halacha of kasher zomam, just like they were trying to impose on him lashes, they should get the lashes. Plus, maybe they should get another set of lashes because they violated losan ebrecha et shoker, another negative command, one found in the Aseret Dibros, in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not bear false testimony. Let's now see the Mishnah. Case 1, Me'idim Anu B'ish Ploni Shechayev L'chaveru Mosayim Zuz. We testify concerning so-and-so that he is obligated to pay 200 zuz, it's an amount of money, he has a debt of 200 zuz. Vinimsu zomimim, and they turned out to be liars. Loikin umeshalmin. They get malchus, and they also have to pay. Their need to pay is a function of kasha zomam, like they try to do to the defendant, they themselves get, which is the principle that guides the standard punishment for Eidim Zomimim, as we've discussed in previous Shiurim. They have to pay, and they also get Malkus. In other words, a double penalty. How can you give them a double penalty? Shelo Hashem Hamavion Lidei Malkus. The word Hashem is a reference to the Pasuk. It is not the Pasuk, it's not the same Pasuk that brings them to Malkus, Mavion Lidei Tashlumen, that brings them to is mechayev them to pay. The pasuk that's mechayev them malchus is loy san ebrecha et shoker. The pasuk that's mechayev them to pay is kasher zomam. Being that they're two separate psukim, they have to suffer two punishments. Divrei Rebbe Meir. This is the opinion of Rebbe Meir. V'chachomim oimrim kol hameshalem einoy loiket. If you have someone that has to pay, he doesn't also get the penalty of Malkus. A second case. Me'idim anu b'ish ploni shehu chayev Malkus arboim. They testified concerning somebody that he committed an offense that carries with it a punishment of Malkus. We gave an example earlier. They testified that he consumed pork. V'nimtzu zomimim, and it turns out that they are lying. Loikin shmoinim, they get two sets of malchus. Mishum lo sana b'rechoid shoker. One is because of the violation of lo sana. We feature that in the first case as well, orally. Here the Mishnah spells it out. Umishum, and secondly, mishum v'atzisem loy kasher zomam. Divrei Rebbe Meir. Once again, you see Rebbe Meir consistent with what he ruled before, that there is an additional set of malchus for their having lied, and based on lo sana b'recha et shoker. V'chachomim omrim ein loikin ela arboyim. The penalty that they receive is only 40 lashes. The 40 lashes based on kasher zomam, not because of lo sana. That is a point that Rashi features. Bishlamo l'rabbonan. I understand the Rabbonan's position more easily. That said, the Rabbonan that said, Mishalem v'eino loike, payment alone and not Malkus, Kedei Rishosoi Ksiv. The Pasuk makes reference to Rishoso, a word in the singular, that he gets one punishment, which we interpret mishum risho achas atomachayvo, v'atomachayvo mishum shtei rishoyos. The Torah says we punish a person because for with one punishment, and we don't punish him with two punishments. Later, the Gemara will raise the question, but we have two separate psukim. Why is it that we don't seem to take into account the pasuk of Lo saneh b'reacha et shaker according to the Rabbanan? Why do the Rabbanan say he's going to get the punishment based on kasher zomam alone? In the case of a lie concerning finances, we interpret that to mean they pay, the witnesses pay the amount they were trying to cause the defendant to lose, but no attention is paid to the Lo saneh. This will be the subject of the Gemara. Four lines from the bottom, you will notice a squiggle underlined expression for Rabbanan, Hai lo sane b'reacho et shoker mai dar shibei. The Gemara will ask, what did the Rabbanan do with that other pasuk? The reason that this question appears so much later is because there's an entire section of Gemara that we've bracketed off, a section of Gemara that in effect will say, the back and forth that we're engaged in right now in analyzing the shitas of the Mishnah. So, we've said till this point that the Rabbanan who said, pay only, no Malkus, in the first case of the Mishnah, that's based on a pasuk that says, Kidei Rishoso, give him one punishment, not two. Ela, the Gemara continues, third line from the top, Rebbe Meir, my taima, why does Rebbe Meir hold that he gets Malkus in addition to the fact that they have to pay? Omar Ula, Gomar Mimotzi Shemra. Ula says that the penalty or the offense of Motzi Shemra serves as a precedence for this double punishment, for paying and getting Malkus. Briefly, Motzi Shemra is a situation where a man married a woman, and upon their first act of intimacy, the man discovers that the woman is not a virgin, and he claims that she was with someone else. And it turns out that the husband is lying. So he's guilty of something called Motzi Shemra. The Torah punishes this husband for having cast aspersions, false condemnation of his wife. The Torah punishes him with the need to pay 100 kesef, plus he gets malchus. We see a double type punishment in the case of Motzi Shemra, and as far as Rabbi Meir is concerned, that serves as a precedent for our case of the Edim Zomimim. Ma Motzi Shemra loike umishalim, just like in that case, there is malchus in addition to the husband having to pay. Af kol, so to all cases that have the potential for both punishments, loike umeshalim, he will give both punishments. At this point in the Gemara, we have just justified Rebbe Meir's position, or given a source for Rebbe Meir's position of loike umeshalim. As far as Rebbe Meir is concerned, loike because of lo yisane b'reached shoker, and Mishalim because of Kasher Zomam, and the fact that we have the Motzi Shemra precedent that seems to overrule the otherwise restriction posed by Kidei Rish Osoy. We have a bracketed section, and we have also a note with a star to the inside margin explaining the role of these brackets. Hasograyim mi'odim lishmor al retzef hadiyun, the purpose of these brackets is to preserve the continuity of the discussion we're engaged in right now, the discussion featuring Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanon and what their sources are for what they say. As far as Rabbi Meir is concerned, we just presented his reasoning for Loike Umeshalim based on Motzi Shemra. And Rabbi Meir said that we can give both penalties, and they are, in the case of the Edom Zomimim, based on the psukim of Kidei Rishoso, and also Lo Sane B'reacha Et Shoker. We did not see what the Rabbanon did with the pasuk of Lo Sane B'reacha Et Shoker. That is what the Gemara will be asking after the bracketed section. As you can see at the lower part of the page, Rabbonan Hailo Sanabrechot Shokemai Darshi Bay. Before we get to that, though, we now have to learn the entire section of Gemara that we've enclosed in the brackets. We opened up with Ula, explaining Rebbe Meir, who said, Lokil Mishalim is based on comparison to the topic of Motzi Shemra. Let us glance at the side of the Gemara, the outside margin, the Nosei Mivneh. We have a diamond featured. Shnei L'shoynois Pe'ula, two versions of Ula. Ma Nilmad, what is it that we learn from the topic of Mimotzi Shemra? According to the first approach, Roman numeral number 1, Ne'enoshim B'shnei Oinshim, we learn from Motzi Shemra this idea that a person can receive two punishments. And Roman numeral number 2, we will learn from Motzi Shemra, according to Ula, another concept, that lav she'en bo maisa loikin olav aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, a negative precept that has been violated is subject to lashes, even if the negative precept itself did not involve action. Something like speech is non-action, as opposed to action, something like eating or the like. Let's continue now in the Gemara. After Ula based Rebbe Meir on the approach to Motzi Shemra, in other words, I'm going to learn the din of Edim Zomimim from Motzi Shemra and come to the conclusion of Lokel Mishalim. Here we raise a pircha, we raise an objection. Notice we have a double underline under the expression ma. This is explained in our outside margin comment, Nisayon Lefroch. You'll see that you can see the double underline, one of our series markers. Attempts to undo, to question. So here the Gemara attempts to question that which Ula said. Ma lemotzi shemra shekein knas. How can you learn Edim Zomimim from Motzi Shemra? Motzi Shemra is a punishment labeled as knas. It's not a financial punishment. In other words, it's not financial restoration per se. It's a fine. Rashi explains the realm of knas is a chidush. It's something that I wouldn't have been able to arrive at logically. It's not a function of simple reparation as such. And being that it's a knas, it represents a new realm, a chidush realm, I can't learn from that to Edim Zomimim. So the Gemara says, that's not a problem. Sovar law, Rabbi Meir will hold Kerebi Akiva. Diomar Edim Zomimim Knosahu. This would be an answer for Ula, that Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Kiva, that said Edim Zomimim themselves are a form of knas. And therefore, I can compare Edim Zomimim, which is a knas, to Motzi Shemra, which is likewise a knas. Iko demasni leho deulo aho desanya. In our marking system, when presented with a second version of something, of whatever, we often employ the squiggle underline. At this point, the Gemara presents a second version of Ula, who will appear specifically, is featured in a diamond a few lines down from here. But the lead-in to the second version of Ula starts at this point in the Gemara. Iko demasni laha de'ula ha. There are those that teach Ula as regarding the following source, Desanya. This source discusses one who leaves over Korban Pesach meat till the next morning. Korban Pesach is something, it's a Pesach sacrifice, which is slaughtered on the 14th of Nisan in the afternoon, must be eaten that very night, the night that ushers in the 15th of Nisan, and it should not be left over to the morning. In the event that it is left over in the morning, you have leftover meat, it's called noisar, and the noisar is supposed to be burnt. Let us say someone left over the noisar, what happens to the person? What type of penalty does he encounter, if any? So the pasuk says, "Lo sosiru mimenu ad boiker." Don't leave over any of the Pesach, Korban Pesach meat till the morning. Va'noisu mimenu ad boiker v'chulei. It goes on to say in the pasuk, "Bo'esh tisareif." It is to be burnt in the morning. Bo hakosuv litein asei achar loisa asei. The pasuk states a positive command, namely the burning of the meat, after the negative command of lo sosiru, don't leave over till the morning. Lomar, to tell us, to inform us, in other words, this construction of psukim, the positive command following the negative command, teaches me she'ein loikin alov, divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that is the reason that there is no malchus for the offense of nosar. Once again, why are there no malchus for leaving over the meat, according to Rabbi Yehuda? Because there is a positive command that follows, which is the Torah's way of saying, don't give him malchus, but rather do this positive act, and that will suffice. Rabbi Akiva Oimer lo min Hashem huzeh. Rabbi Akiva says that's not the reason for lack of malchus. Namely, the presence of the asay, of the positive command after the negative, is not the reason for malchus exemption. The reason for no malchus in the case of leaving over the Korban Pesach till the morning is because leaving over is a non-action. It's passive. He left it over. The whole lav she'ein bo imaisa, all negative offenses that are violated through passivity, ein loikin olov. There's no malchus. Again, according to Rabbi Kiva, lav shein bo imaisa ein loken alav. What's Rabbi Yehuda's position on that? Well, he argues with Rabbi Kiva in this very source. We can therefore infer mechlal Rabbi Yehuda savar lav shein bo imaisa loken alav, that negative commands that are that their violation is through passivity does result in a malchus punishment and a lashing punishment. Minole, from where does Rabbi Yehuda know this? Notice with our slashed underline, we accomplish the focusing of Minole on Rabbi Yehuda. From where does Rabbi Yehuda know this point, that Lav Shein Bo Maisa, there is Malchus? Omar Ula, stage one. This is, of course, the second version of Ula. Ula says, Gomar mi Motzi Shemra. I can use Motzi Shemra as a precedent for this concept of Lav Shein Bo Maisa Loiken Olav. Ma motzi shemra lav shein bo imaisa loken olav. Just like motzi shemra is a non-action, it's the case where the husband cast aspersions on his wife. That's verbal. That's not an action. And yet the Torah says he gets lashed. Af kol lav shein bo imaisa loken olav. So too, all cases of negative precepts that are violated through passivity, there is malchus. The Gemara raises an objection. How can you learn from Motzi Shemra? Ma'ala Motzi Shemra Shekein Loiku Meshaling. Motzi Shemra, the nature of Motzi Shemra is one of a very harsh offense. It's so harsh, it's so serious, it's such a serious offense that not only is there Torah, but the Torah also imposes the penalty of having to pay. So I can't learn from something like that. It's unique. It's loike u'mishalem. I can't learn from that to a case of nosar, which is simply leaving over meat. There's no payment involved. Elo omar reish lokish. Stage number two. The question is, from where does Rabbi Yehuda learn that lav she'ein boi maisa loiken olav? So Reish Lakish says, Gomar mi Eidin Zomim. And this is stage two. Notice, with our markings, we've dashed underlined Gomar mi Eidin Zomim. As we dashed underlined the first approach of that taken by Ula under version number two, Gomar mi Motzi Shemra. So Reish Lakish offers Eidin Zomim as an example. Ma Eidin Zomim, just like Eidin Zomim, Lav Shein Boi Maisa Loiken Olav. it's a case of passive violation. It's through speech, and they get malchus. Af kol lav shein bo maisa lo ken alav. So to any other case of lav shein bo maisa, like the case of nosar, which is the topic that we're analyzing right now, that too lo ken alav, there will be malchus. Ma li edim zomimim. However, you can't learn from Edim Zomim. This is a pircha. You can't learn from Edim Zomim. Edim Zomim are a very serious realm in and of themselves. It's such a serious type violation that we know the Edim Zomim will get punished even if they did not receive a warning beforehand. Unlike all other cases of Malchus, you cannot give Malchus to the offender unless he got a specific hasra, a warning before committing the offense. This is not the case in Edim Zomimim. So the Gemara points out that as a result of this, of Edim Zomimim being so serious and hence different, I can't use it as a precedent for other things like the case of Nosar. Ma li Edim Zomimim shekein ein tzrichin hasra. They don't need a warning beforehand, and I'll lash them anyway. So to this, the Gemara says, Motzi Shemro Yochiach. The case of Motzi Shemra, it's a lav she'en boi maise, and loiken olav, v'chozer hadin. But as we said before, you can't learn from Motzi Shemra, because Motzi Shemra carries with it a double penalty. So, v'chozer hadin, the logic revolves. Lo ro'izeh kiro'izeh, v'lo ro'izeh kiro'izeh. Each one of the precedents is unlike the other. Each one has sides to it that's not like the other. And as a result of that, I can't use Edim Zomimim on its own to learn to Nosar, nor can I use Motzi Shemra on its own to learn to Nosar. Hatzad Hashevo Shebohen. However, the common denominator that runs between Motzi Shemra and Edim Zomimim is what? Lav Shein Bo Maisa. They are both offenses that are committed passively. V'loiken Olav. And they both carry with them lashings. Af Kol. Therefore, I can base myself on the common denominator, the Tzad HaShoveh, between those two elements, and extrapolate to all other cases and establish a rule. Lav Shein Bo Maisa. Loiken Olav. That passive negative precepts, when violated, carry with it malchus. To this, the Gemara raises an objection. Ma la tzara sheva shebohen. How can you learn from their common denominator? Shekein knas. Motzi shemra and edim zomimim are knas type offenses. And as such, they constitute a chiddush, and I can't learn from them to other areas. The Gemara says, "Halo kashi, this doesn't have to present a difficulty to us." Rabbi Yehuda, lo sovar lo ke Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yehuda, as regards Edim Zomimim, doesn't hold like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva classified Edim Zomimim as knas. Rabbi Yehuda, who is the shita we're analyzing right now, he's the one that said by Nosar there's Malchus, even though it's a lav shein bo maisa. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't subscribe to Rabbi Akiva's approach with regard to Edim Zomimim. And as a result of that, I don't have the undoing of the Tzad HaShoveh based on Knas, because Edim Zomimim is not a realm of Knas, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Ela. However, if you want to raise an objection, try this out. Ma lahatzad hasheva shebohen, shekein yesh bohen tzad chomor. I can't use Edim Zomimim and Motzi Shemra as a precedent, because each one of them has a unique severity that you don't find by other things, by other offenses. Each one has its own unique severity. The case of Motzi Shemra had the severity of Loke Meshalim. The case of the Edim Zomimim had its severity as Ein Tzrichin Hasra. So how is it that Rabbi Yehuda comes to his conclusion that Lav She'en Bo Maisa Loiken Olav? The response to that is, Rabbi Yehuda, Sad Chomur Lo Porach. He doesn't pay attention to a situation where both elements of the common denominator of the Tzad HaShoveh, where each element has its own unique severity. If it's not a severity that's common to both of them, it doesn't serve as a pircha. Hence, I can use Eidim Zomimim and Motzi Shemra as a precedent to form a rule that Lav Shem Bo Maisa Loikin Olav. The brackets closes here, and this marking is very helpful, so that as you read on in the Gemara, and you see the expression Virabonon, you realize it's not a flow coming right off the point discussed till now, but rather it carries you back to that which appeared before the brackets, the Rabbanon who disagree with Rabbi Meir. We also have an arrow here indicating Dalet Amud Aleph. If you find a parallel arrow by scrolling back or flipping back to Dalet Amud Aleph, you'll notice three lines from the bottom an arrow indicating Dalet Amud Beis. That arrow is pointing on Amud Aleph to the line that says Lo Sana Brechay Choker, which was the source cited for Rabbi Meir for one of the two sets of Malkus that he was Mechayev. Here the Gemara is asking for Rabbanan, Hai lo sana brecha yitshoker mai dar shibay. The Rabbanan, what do they do with this pasuk of lo sana? The pasuk that Rabbi Meir learned from it an additional set of Malkus for the Edim in the Mishnah. What did the Rabbanan learn from that? Answer, Hahu miboyale lazhoro li Edim zomimim. The Rabbanan used the pasuk of Lo Sana Breachai Shoker as the Torah's Azhora pasuk for Edim Zomimim. Briefly stated, there is a rule regarding physical punishments that are ruled by the Torah. In order for a physical punishment to be enacted, there has to be two sets of psukim. There has to be two psukim. One pasuk that states the negative precept, that's called the lav, or it's called the azhara, and the other pasuk indicating the actual punishment itself. So in order for malchus to be a possibility for Edim Zomimim, I need to have an azhara pasuk. And an azhara pasuk, as we said, it is a pasuk stated in the negative, a negative precept. So the negative precept that serves as the azhara, according to the Rabbanan, is this pasuk of Lo Sana Brecha Yit Shoker. Rabbi Meir, notice we go back and forth. Rabbi Meir, Azhara Leidim Zomimim Ole. Where does Rabbi Meir derive the azhara for Edim Zomimim? The question being that Rabbi Meir already used Lo Sana Brecha Yit Shoker as a punishment, as a source for Malkus for the Edim Zomimim. So where is his Azhara Pasuk? He has to have a different Pasuk for the Azhara. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah Nafkale, Mi Vehanish Orim Yishmu Viro V'lo Yosifu Oid. From that Pasuk he learns the Azhara. Rashi points out, Hare Azhara V'parshas Edim Zomimim Ksiv. You have in the Parsha of Edim Zomimim itself this Pasuk. V'rabonon, what is their response? Hahu, the pasuk of Anisharim Nishmo Viro, Miboyale Lahachroza. It's needed for a different halacha, namely that an announcement must be made before they receive their punishment. That Bezin makes an announcement. And Rashi quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin that says, Arboot Srichin Hachroza. The announcement, as Rashi presents it over here, is that an announcement is made after a punishment was carried out, that so and so received the following punishment in the basin, and this announcement is in order to serve as a deterrent to the public. Rabbi Meir, Hachroza. Rabbi Meir, as far as his source for Hachroza, Mi Yishmeu Viro Nafka. He learns it from that particular expression in the Pasuk. They shall hear and be fear struck. As far as the Azhara is concerned, he learns that from the latter expression in the Pasuk of Lo Yosifu. With that, we conclude our Shiur for today.